Praise God. Well, we're back in our teaching again on growing up spiritually. Hallelujah. That takes work and takes time. I always think about when I first started off, and you know, it's sort of like kids do. You want to be able to do everything at one time, and you try to get there, and if you don't watch, you get yourself over into self-condemnation. It ain't the devil. It's you do it to yourself because you expect things of yourself that you don't have the knowledge to do yet, and you're not mature enough to be able to do certain things. And I remember going through those things and how I would frustrate myself on things. And you learn over time, and you can always tell people that don't grow up because they stay in that same condition and they're miserable all the time. And they become a misery to everybody else too. Because they stay in that stage where they're always they're frustrated. So they frustrate everybody around them. So growing up's a good thing for sure. So, and we're looking at these things. Right now, we have been teaching on things that we need to do to grow up. And if you want to grow spiritually, we spent the past two teaching sessions on dealing with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot more that could be said about the Holy Spirit, but we just looked at really some of the important things of learning to be led by the Spirit of God, how important it is, and to understand and know the Holy Spirit, how He works, because there's no other way to grow up. You know, He's the teacher. He's the one that guides us and leads us in the truth. He's the one that reveals Jesus. So without the Holy Spirit, it's an impossibility to grow up spiritually. It never happened. And so you want to develop in that area. One of the things we're going to look at tonight is growing up spiritually. You need to know your inheritance in Christ Jesus. It's one of the things you can't grow up without knowing what's been given to you. So we're going to look at this, especially inheritance our inheritance is really important. We're going to look over at Colossians, the book of Colossians in the first chapter. I want to talk about our inheritance, because this is so important to look at. We're going to look in Colossians and read scriptures. We'll start at the 12th verse. And it says this, giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we want to see this here, what is said. It says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us. So number one is we are qualified. We have been. It's not something. We're not trying to get qualified for the inheritance. There's things really in the scriptures that as you grow up, you have to grow to be able to operate in. But you are qualified to the inheritance of God the day you got born again. You know, it's funny because I know as most religious churches, you know, it's one thing is I grew up under the plain, you know, people. They were, you know, the plain, and I found, you know, even as over time of getting around the other people, Baptists and different ones and that, they mostly operate. These people operate all in the things of trying to get your inheritance. They're always trying to qualify for what really they have as children of God. And so you need to understand this. We find out here in this scripture that the Apostle Paul tells us that we're already qualified. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So in other words, and also the term here is used in light. In other words, it's dealing with our inheritance is an inheritance in light. In line with the Word of God, we look at in light. It's not in darkness. So in God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. He goes on to say, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. It says He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. This is one of the things dealing with inheritance. We already are qualified for the inheritance when you got born again. So we're not trying to qualify for the inheritance. The inheritance already belongs to us. And you have already been delivered. This is really is an important thing because most Christians and most teaching in the church is incorrect. We're not saying it to, you know, talk about anybody, but it's just true. People are trying to get delivered. People are always trying to get, you know, you are delivered from the power of darkness. You are not trying to. Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan. Satan is a defeated foe. No Christians trying to defeat Satan. Back in the 1990s, the church got real far off. The spirit-filled people got into all this they called spiritual warfare, and it was nothing but false teaching and weird stuff going on, and all this stuff of fighting the devil, trying to get the devil to fight. We don't have, the only fight that the Bible tells us to be in, the New Testament, says the good fight of faith. That's it. We're not in any other fight. You're not fighting the devil. These people get over and battling the devil. We're fighting the devil. You know, it's number one. The Satan is a defeated foe. The church is victorious. What we do is we reinforce his defeat. We're not trying to defeat him. We just reinforce his defeat. So, in this way, you need to come over and understand, you have already been delivered from the power of darkness. Whatever falls in the category of darkness, you've already been delivered from. You know, it's one of the things, when I got born again, I heard the true gospel. I realized, you know, I was born and raised, and people preached in churches and said they preached the gospel, but they didn't. Loads of people say they preach the gospel. I hear ministers today talking about we preach the gospel, and they don't preach the gospel. They preaching people. You know, I found out that I was delivered when I got saved. So I didn't have to go through a 12-step program trying to get out of a problem. I was delivered. I was an alcoholic, and when I got saved, I got delivered from alcohol. When I got saved, I didn't get delivered from alcohol after I got saved. I got delivered alcohol the day I got saved. And see, but I was taught that you got delivered. See, this is why people go through that. They're not taught. You know, it's one thing. I've seen people in drugs and everything. You know, I've watched this stuff in the church world. You know, they're trying to work with people to get delivered from things. Always trying to get delivered. Nobody's ever telling somebody this starts, you are delivered. They're walking around talking about trying to get delivered. Well, you know, we're believing God and and all of it is, has nothing to do with faith, has nothing to do with God. They're trying to act like, no, I'm still bound and I'm trying to get out of it. They think it's weird to walk around and talk about being free of something. A good example is, you know, years ago I heard like Kenneth Copeland, a guy came to him and said, he was a young guy and he had gotten born again, and he said, you know, he wanted to quit smoking cigarettes. He had a cigarette habit and wanted to smoke it. So Ken Copeland said to him, I want you to do, will you do this for me? And he said, do something for me if I ask you to. And the guy said, yeah, if I can do it. He said, every time you light up a cigarette, you say, thank God I don't smoke anymore. And the guy just looked at him really weird about this. And he said to him, now I want you to do that. You do that. The guy said, well, don't, when I light up, I'm supposed to. He said, yeah, just do it. And he said, will you do that? And the guy said, well, yeah, okay. I'll do that. And so the guy came back after him a couple weeks. And he said, you know, he said, when you told me to do that, he said, I thought that's the dumbest thing in the world. And he said, every time I lit up a cigarette, I thought, this is stupid. This is really stupid. But you need to understand, you know why this stuff sounds dumb? Because 99.9% of preachers tell you the exact opposite to do. And most people believe and read the Bible, and somehow they see that in the Bible. I don't know how they do it. They don't see freedom. They see bondage, and you're always trying to get out of it. And this guy said, I did it. I started saying it. And he said, one day, he said, I went to light a cigarette. And he said, I thank God I don't smoke anymore. And he thought, you know, I don't smoke. I ain't smoking anymore. He said, I haven't had a cigarette since, and it don't bother me. He was delivered. See, he kept saying what the Bible says. He has been delivered. Instead, everybody else has you talking. You go to any 12-step program. Go to Alcoholics Anonymous. What do you stand up? I'm an alcoholic. You go to the drug one. I'm a drug addict. No wonder people never get free. They're never free of it. They're saying, I never get free of this. I'm always going to be this for the rest of my life. I'm always this. That's what I am. You know, it's a 12-step program to keep you in bondage. It's to hold you in a place where you're never going to get free. And, you know, we need to see this. So you have been delivered. So whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're dealing with, get, first of all, this is most people are trying to, going through this thing of getting free of something before they ever sit down and really ever get a thought in their mind. You know, get yourself over where you meditate on the fact that you're free, to get yourself start to saying the right things, speaking the right things. But most people, that's the last thing they're going to do. Most people ain't gonna, they aren't gonna believe they're free till they quit doing whatever it is. Then I'm free now. No, you were free. You were free when you got born again. And so, you know, people, it's, in other words, finding out. We're dealing with an inheritance, and this is the things that we're going to look at. So, this inheritance is in the kingdom of God. We've been conveyed now, you're in the kingdom, you've been conveyed into the kingdom of His Son, which is the kingdom of light. You're in the kingdom of light, you're not in darkness anymore. It says, whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. So, you already qualified for the inheritance. And you're already delivered from Satan's kingdom. You're not under the bondage of Satan. Satan is not lording over you. The Bible says that sin doesn't lord over us. See, when people talk about having, you know, these things, that stuff, bondage and all that kind of stuff, they're talking about sin lording over them. People need to start, hold it, sin doesn't lord over me. It doesn't lord over me. It's not my Lord anymore. See, start saying the right thing. Start speaking. You know, if you don't start saying and thinking on the right stuff, you're never going to believe the right stuff. You can't be saying the wrong stuff all the time, believing the right stuff. It's not going to happen. And so do that. Begin to say about yourself. Begin to speak. It's a shame because many people, and we're talking about born-again Christians, they have a desire to walk in freedom of things, but they have been taught all their life to stay in bondage. They've been taught how to stay in bondage. And it's a shame. They really do want free. What happens is many people, they never have any success at it, so eventually they quit even trying. They just go ahead and live in sin and live in guilt, and they'll tell you they even feel guilty. Go talk to them about it. Why? They don't see any hope in it. They have done all the religious stuff that people have told them to do. Well, you just need to pray. We're going to find out you're wasting your time praying for something that you're talking the wrong stuff and doing the wrong stuff. You're wasting your time. Praying to do nothing but aggravate you even more. You pray and it thought, oh, well, prayer changes things. Yeah, sure, if prayer changes things, the world would be a whole different place today if the prayer changes stuff. Look at all the religious people in the world praying about stuff. It's got a lot better, hasn't it? It's all the ignorance going on in prayer. Prayer's wonderful when you have knowledge. But without knowledge, prayer can be your great disaster. You know, people go down praying. We don't want to do that. We want to get up praying. We want to go down. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. But there's an inheritance of the saints in light. Praise God. So we are the saints and we have an inheritance. Now I want to look at, because we want to go over to look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And 2 Peter says something really good here in 2 Peter, the first chapter. These are some really good things because we're going to go into, we're talking about inheritance. And listen, Peter really gives there's a good revelation in these opening scriptures here to this chapter 1. We're going to look at starting at verse 2 of 2 Peter, the first chapter. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want you to see what that says there. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? Praying and asking God for peace and praying and asking God. It's what? Through knowledge of God. Grace and peace are multiplied to you through knowledge. Grace and peace are multiplied to you through knowledge. Get that fact. In other words, if you want to walk in the grace of God and in the peace of God, you need to gain knowledge of God. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's impossible to walk by faith if you don't have knowledge. You cannot. Impossible. Impossible. So if you want peace in your life, the more peace you desire, then the more knowledge you need to gain of God so you can walk in peace. Why? Because the more faith you'll develop in faith in God, the more you trust God, the more you'll be at peace. The more you'll be at rest. Problems come, you'll be at rest. You'll be at peace because you'll know what God will do for you. You'll know what God's taken care of. So you always want to develop in that area. So we see here that Peter opens up with this, that the knowledge of God, grace and peace are multiplied. Now listen what he says in verse 3. As his divine power has given us, in other words, has past tense. Here again, this is past tense stuff. Has what? Given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now what it is? His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given to you. See, and this is why when people come along, see, we've been teaching on the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit's job? To take what belongs to Jesus and show it to you. What did we find out? Jesus said, all things that the Father have are mine. And what the Holy Spirit shows them to, that He gives them to you. Which is right in line with what Peter's talking about here. Everything has already been given. In other words, if you need knowledge from God, God is not going to withhold knowledge. Why? It's part of the inheritance. For God to withhold knowledge is to withhold inheritance, which makes Him a liar. It hasn't been given then. You see, when you're asking God for knowledge, this is one thing what you need to understand about the asking side. Remember we talked about asking before, and I did a little bit of a thing what the idea of is when we ask for something, we're not asking God on a basis of for something that's not been given. The word ask in the gives this idea when we ask God for something is we're not going to God and say, God, would you please give me this like He hasn't done it? It's the idea of God told us what we needed to do to get something, and we've met the qualifications. Now that thing belongs to us. It's like you going into the bank of money that belongs to you, and as you've put it in the bank, and when you go in and you're asking for your money, are you asking about to see if they want to give it to you or not? Don't you have the idea that when you're going to ask for your money, they're just going to hand it over? If they wouldn't hand it over, what would you do? You turn around, walk out of the bank and said, oh man, I really needed that. I really needed my money. Would you do that? 99.9% of the church does that when they pray. It's exactly what they do. That's the kind of asking. They're not asking like it's theirs. It belongs. It's on their account. The inheritance is on your account. It's what belongs to you. God is not withholding inheritance. He doesn't withhold that. So, He's telling us here, Peter's saying, that God's divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, we want to talk about this word here. This word here is used as life because this is important. This is the word Zoe. This is the word that is used every time you see the word eternal life. The word life there is always speaks on the terms of eternal life. It's talking about the life of God. This life, it means life that is real and genuine. It's a life active, vigorous, devoted to God, a life that comes directly from God. That's what this life is. So, when we're talking about this life, now, we find here in verse 3, he went on to say, so this life, this God life, that's what you have when you got everlasting life, when you got born again, you got the God life. Everything pertaining to the God life that you received, you're born of this life. Everything pertaining of it that you need to operate for eternity, not just for here and now, for eternity, has already been given to you. It's yours. It's already yours now, given to you. It's not going to be given to you sometime. Everything that you need to operate, your human spirit needs to operate concerning eternal life, has already been given to you. Everything you need to live this godly, because this life is a godly life, everything has already been given. Now, we're in this problem. Now listen, he goes on here, he says what? What? Through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. It is through knowledge that we really have access to this life. This is how we find out. Knowledge, it's already been given. You and I should be studying the Word to find out what has been given to us. What has already, not what we're trying to get. This is what people, you know, like the promise box, you know, thing. When I first grown up, I used to, these people had these promise boxes. And they were always trying to get the promises. And they never did. The promise box never did any good. Because they had the idea they're trying to get these promises. These promises are given, we're going to find out. They're already given. We're dealing with something here, this knowledge. You know, what the problem with knowledge is this, is Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So in other words, why do people end up destroyed? Israel ended up destroyed, not because God didn't give them what they need. They had no knowledge of what God had given them. Not having knowledge, and that's why. People who, like, the devil will always do this to people and say, well, you know, I can't understand the word, I can't, you know. He'll always get people over to try to stay away from the word. Well, you know, it's too hard. You know, I just don't know what it means. He'll try to keep you away. He wants you not to gain knowledge. He doesn't want you to have knowledge. Because if you gain knowledge of what God has done, well, praise God, you're going to be on the right road to success. To find out what God gave you, what he did. So his divine power has given you everything that you could possibly ever need or want that pertains to life and godliness. And he did it through knowledge. Just like we started out up here and looked concerning the knowledge of God. Gaining knowledge of God. That said, who called us to glory. Now this, you see this term glory and virtue. He's called us to glory and virtue. He's called us to glory and virtue. That's what he's called us to. So you're already called to that, to the glory of God. We'll find out as we look at scripture and look at more of these. Now listen to this. Verse 4. Peter goes on by the Holy Spirit and says, by which have been given to us. Now listen. Which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now he didn't say, has been given to you good promises or nice promises. What does he call them? Exceedingly great. They're exceedingly great and precious promises. When will they be given to you? They have been. The promises of God are already given. You need to understand that. We've taught before concerning faith. What's Mark 11:24 say? When we ask, we're supposed to believe we receive it. If the promise has not already been given, it is impossible for you to believe you receive it. This is why most people don't believe it's giving. They're asking, trying to get something from God that they don't believe is theirs yet. Why? Because they can't feel it. They can't see it. So they, see, this is why you're always supposed to act like the promise has already been given. Already been given. So if it's already been given, this is why, like I say, with healing, I can go to God and say, God, I just want to thank you. I'm just receiving my healing right now. Why? It belongs to me. Just like I go into the bank, I ask him for the money. It's mine. I'm just going to go in and pocket it now. So, yeah, I'm putting it in my pocket. Well, that's it. It's just the same way. Going in, we're going in up the counter and say, God, that healing that's mine, give it to me right now. Thank you. Put it in your pocket. Now leave with it. Leave with it. That's what you do. You don't. If it isn't, it wasn't a promise. Is God a promise breaker? Most Christianity believes he is. Most Christianity don't believe in hardly a promise. Everything is a vague something or other. See, we're dealing with promises, a covenant. This covenant, this inheritance we have is founded upon legal precedence by God. Now, why were these promises given? That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Do you know healing is part of divine nature? To not get healed is not to have the walking in the divine nature. You're not walking in what you are. The promise of healing, the promise of finding, the promise of salvation, all everything that God has ever given through promise all has to do with the fulfilling of you and I walking in divine nature. To not walk in, if God didn't give us what is required to walk in the divine nature, He has no business asking me to be virtuous or anything else. He has no business to ask of it. Because it'd be a fraud. The whole thing would be a fraud. You couldn't do it. So the fact that He gave us these things So the reason for the promises is so you and I can be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, we can enjoy and have the divine nature, not something nice in a book waiting for the sweet by and by. It's for the sweet here and now. It's to live in right now in this time that we're in. So these are the days that you want to live. You want to start in it today. We can live in divine nature today. We're going to live in it for eternity. We're going to walk and live in this for the eternity. Why not? Why wait to get to heaven? Most Christians will wait to get to heaven before they will ever start to live in their divine nature, because they've been told you just can't do that. This is no. You're just a nobody here. You're just, you know, you're just down here trying to get by. You know, this is Pilgrim's Progress. We're just trying to forge our way through this life. It's just such a drudge, and that's what they're doing, you know. And the Pilgrims ain't making any progress. At the end of the road, they're as bad as they were when they started. So we're trying to go. Now, what's it saying? Why? This is what these promises receive. This is what they'll do. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, you are able, without this, without gaining the knowledge of God and walking in these promises, your body, your flesh will always dominate and rule you. Can't do it any other way. And you know, most of the world teaches that. You're just going to sin. The flesh is just going to rule. See, they don't believe in the promises. The flesh is just going to rule. It's going to dominate. No, it's so you can escape the flesh dominating and ruling. You know, you're here in this world. You're just going to get sick. You know. Well, the flu's coming. Here it comes. My God. And we'll just get good and afraid. Let's get good and fearful. My words, more people will die this weekend. My God, so far 50 people this year already have died down in Baltimore by gunshot. You know, killed, murdered. Now just think about that. We're worried about the flu. I'm more concerned about Baltimore. Baltimore is worse than the flu. It's like, come on, let's get real. And, you know, if you ever think of how people think about stuff. But number one, there's a lot of money in pushing panic. The media makes tons of money because they can up what it costs to run an ad, because the more people watch, it's a money. News today has very little to do about news. It's about money. It's about what will make money. We know that there's tons of money in news because everybody's brother's in it today. People make fortunes off of it and that stuff. I mean, my word, people are doing stuff online. You have more people watch and follow this stuff. And advertisers advertise through these people online doing stuff and things. I mean, it's nuts. And it is. It's all about money. It's about making money. Ain't got a thing to do with news, right, wrong. Who cares what's right, wrong, or true anymore? Nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention to half of it. That'd be all of it. If you sit around is trying to divide up who's telling the truth and who's not, it's hard to tell. That's why I like the Bible a lot. I know for sure this ain't going to change. This is going to be the same. I don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have this wonderful, wonderful life. Now, talking about this life, now you understand what Jesus said. Now, listen, Jesus made a statement. You know this scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes to what? Comes not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. The thief. He said, what? I have come that you may have life. Now, that there's that term at Zoe, that you might have life and may have it more abundantly. Now, the purpose he came, see, we've been reading about life. See, we're knowledge and life. No matter how much life, no matter where you were born, you're born again. I just feel so sorry that people get born again and then they sit and listen to knowledge that's taught to them that really teaches them defeat. But it teaches them they're not going to make it. You just got to keep drudging along, and one day you're going to end up at a nice place. One day you'll get there, finally. You'll get there one day. It'll get there. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that what? You might have life. And what? That you might get maybe a little bit of that. He said, no, that you might have it more abundantly. The Greek word there, it's used in there. It means over and above or more than is necessary. It means to super added. So life. Well, see, we're reading, when we look at Paul wrote to the Colossians, we're talking about inheritance, and we went to what, look what Peter said. What's been given to us. And see, this is what we need the knowledge of, because this life that's been given to us already, Jesus said, I came, the purpose that I came, that you might have this super added abundance of life. This is what I came for. This is why I'm here. So there was going to be something added, something we found out it's given. God had made promise concerning these things. We have to decide, is God the promise breaker? Is he? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, where there's no shadow of turning. Only good and perfect come from God. That's it. That's why Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Satan never brings good. Never. I don't care what Satan, when people say along with Satan, you know, heals and that stuff. Well, you know, Satan couldn't be a healer because he don't have good in him. He has darkness. He can't be a healer. He doesn't have good in him. His end result never can come out to be good. So God has already given us exceedingly great and precious promises. He's already done that. He's given them. God has given us this life, which really superabounds toward us, this abundant life that he's given us. So it comes through the knowledge of these promises that God gave, so you can escape the corruption that's in the world, really through the lust of the flesh. So see, people want to bring their flesh under. People desire. That's the desire. People don't want to follow the lust of the flesh. Christians, I wouldn't think Christians would want to. Some are taught to, but they don't know any better. People are telling, you just live in sin. I remember all the times I've heard Christians say, you know, and say, well, you're just going to sin. You're just going to do this. You're just going to do that. And I think a lot of times people just get that. After a while, they live such a failure Christian walk, they don't even try to change anymore because they don't see any point in it. They see no point in doing it. Why change? I've tried so much, and they have been. Well, you know, you're fighting God all the time. To them, you're fighting God because God didn't deliver you yet. He didn't set you free yet. And they're trying to find out how to get this and what you got to do. So people go over. Where they go to? They go to psychology, and then they go to psychology and try to figure it out. And the psychology will end up telling, you'll get to the point then with them where, well, you know, you're just in bondage to your religion. This is what's wrong with you. Because, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with doing this stuff. You have a good time, you know. Just don't get the gun out, you know. It's all right. Just don't do that, you know. And they'll get into that kind of thinking. Now, we want to talk about, because we read before about the glory of God. In 2 Thessalonians, I want us to go over there and look at a scripture that says to us about inheritance. We're dealing with inheritance. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We're going to start here. We got verse 13 and 14. We'll start. 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by the gospel for obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What? To obtain. You were called. Think about this. We're talking about inheritance. You're called to obtain the glory. Remember, back here we read about the glory and virtue. See, this glory, these words, if you'll find these tied together out through scriptures, we could go through a lot of things. These things are tied to it. See, the glory of God is something God wants us to take a hold of, is to begin to walk in. God wants it, just like today, people talk about the glory of God. Well, God wants the church to walk in the glory. God wants the church to have his glory. So, but we found that Paul says, to which he called you by our gospel, for you were called specifically to obtain this glory. Why? How do you do it? Through the promises of God. That's how you do it. It's through the promises you obtain this. So the knowledge of the promises of God. So you want to find out, what did God say he was going, what he's done for you? This is one of the things when Kenneth Hagin came out with the teachings years ago, and came out with the teachings on who you are in Christ Jesus. In other words, that was an enormous revelation, because most of the church never heard nothing like that. You know, you were just old sinners saved by grace. That's basically, and he came along and then he began to teach. And see, when I came into the kingdom, I heard his teaching in the beginning. I listened to his teaching and stuff, and I read his book, looking at who you are in Christ Jesus, what God has made you to be, seeing yourself in a different light. I know I would, when I first got saved and stuff, I would go to my parents' house, and my parents had been saved for years, and I knew they didn't know nothing about this stuff. But it was, I would say things, my parents would make statements, I'd say, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything like that. And they would always, like, you know, stop and, well, you know, this is a huge thing because we have all these things that we believe and, you know, all this stuff that we've had all these years. And I would tell them what the Scripture says. And, I mean, they just look at you like a dog in a new dish. You're like, what on earth is this? You know, and they just think you were sort of weird. But they've been taught all their life, you know, the opposite. But you'd see this freedom. And to them, it was hard to accept because it literally made God too good. It can't be that good. You know, and I really do. I think a lot of people battle at that. If you came along and started in the beginning and had that, instead of having, even most sinners today have been told so many wrong things about God that they believe, that it's hard to believe it would be so good. It's hard for people to believe that. Is God that good? Has he done what he's done? Is getting yourself over to take a hold of these. So we want to attain, so it's through the knowledge of God, or the God, in other words, the gospel, in other words, the gospel that's preached, the knowledge of the gospel is to obtain the glory of God. What do? We have the knowledge of the gospel today, you're just going to sin. Does that sound like glory? You know, we're just trying to make it through here the best we can until Jesus comes and drags this dirty whore out of here. Oh yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's like, you know, get these punks off the earth here. I'll tell you what, just get them out of here. And people are sitting around, and there's not a glory about it. And the whole thing of it is, our gospel brings knowledge to the glory of God that God's put in the church. And hallelujah. So we want to come. We're going to have to gain knowledge of the truth. So that's one of the things is why you're really the need of the Holy Spirit, the teacher, studying the Word, looking at the Word, asking the Lord to teach you. Now I want to go back over because we want to look at this in Hebrews here. Go over to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. We're just building a case through the Scriptures here on this stuff. We're just... by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, we're using a lot more than that. We're establishing and laying it out. Somebody talks different about it, you tell them. You say, I want at least 10 scriptures on what you say is true. And if you can't, because there's loads of scriptures that talk the direction I'm going. They'll pull one scripture out of context and turn around and throw it out there. Now, we want to look at this about our inheritance, what we've been given. And the Apostle Paul wrote, writing in Hebrews, said in Hebrews 9 and the 9th chapter, Hebrews the 9th chapter, we're going to look at, go down to verse 15. Apostle Paul, he's going to be talking here about inheritance. Now listen to what he says. Verse 15, he says, and for this reason, he's speaking of Jesus Christ, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. In other words, he's the mediator of the covenant. He says, by his death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant. Now, the first covenant dealing with the old covenant. But he's talking about there's a new covenant, and it's really, he's the mediator. And it was through his death that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So this mediator of this new covenant, it was done by the means of Christ's death. He said that those who are called may receive what? The promise of the eternal inheritance. So you can receive something. Jesus died so you could receive this inheritance. This is what he died. He received this inheritance. Now listen what he goes on to say here. For where there is a testament, or we would say a will, they use the term testament. In fact, years ago, when I was a kid, they would talk about somebody's will, they call it a will and testament. Today you don't hear much, they just say will. They talk about a person's will. But that was a common term, will and testament, for a person dying. So, we have here, this is what he's talking about. There's a will. Now, it says, where there is a testament or will, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Now, a testator is this, a person who dies leaving a will or testament in force. That's a testator. A testator is a person who has made a will and then died. Okay? Jesus, him and the Father God got together and they made a will. And in that will, Jesus was the testator of the will. He was the one. He was the one. And he died, which means now that will is in force. He goes on to say here, says, for a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So you need to understand this about the will of God. See, many people are waiting for God's, you know, full blessing, and so we go to heaven and blah, 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 all this stuff. The will of God has already been put into effect. Jesus died. At his death, the will was given. In other words, the will is in force, or it's empowered now. Not part of it. It's an impossibility that part of it could be. It would have to state directly in it. But see, it's not. I mean, did anybody here, you inherited something? You ever inherited? When did you get to your inheritance? Well, the person died. And then whatever the will stated belonged to you, that became yours. Now, the attorney didn't stop and say, well, hold on, I don't want you to have that. I didn't. If he did, he was in trouble. But see, the power of a will is enforced once the person dies. That will is going to have to be carried out. Now, today they do all kind of legal mumbo-jumbo and that stuff. This stuff was back in the days when they were supposed to follow laws. Today, no telling what they'll do. But anyhow, here they're dealing with, in other words, the power of this covenant is already set in force. It's already done. The testator, who was Jesus Christ, died. So one must die to have their will put into action. So as long as a person is alive, the people's names in the will have no authority to claim anything from the will. So you wouldn't have anything to claim from it. You couldn't do that until the person died. So as God's will was for, understand this, God's will was for his children. Do you know the will was put into effect before you became his child? So it's in effect. The will went into effect, and that will was for this. It was only for God's children. It wasn't for no one else. It was only for God's children. Jesus was raised from the dead, a child of God. He was raised, born again, child of God. The will went into effect, and the fact, isn't it amazing? He's a partaker of the will, his own will. But he died, so the will was set, and he's a child of God. So it's set into effect. But now the only ones that this will goes to are children. That's the only one. See, this is why you have to understand today we have all this stuff that, well, you know, people get to heaven different ways and all this kind of stuff, and people are compromising Christianity to other religions, you know, and they have their way of believing. This here in itself tells you this whole thing's a lie. People ain't a child, aren't born of God. I don't care if they call themselves a Christian, they can call themselves anything they want. They are not part of the will. They will not be with God, because only the people that are in the will of God are going to be with God. That's it. You must be in the will, and you're in the will, first of all, becoming a child of God. You had to. So we have here, this will was already set into effect, and it's only for God's children. So when Jesus died, he set the will into effect, and when he was raised from the dead, he was the benefactor of all that was in the will. He was. Now, anyone who believes in him, as the scripture says, becomes a child of God and a full benefactor of the will, because they are in Christ's resurrection. You have become a child of God. Now, only, and it's only the children of God. And we need to understand this, is when people tell sinners, well, just pray or just do this. Or we need to understand, sinners, we need to quit telling people as if they have a right to go to God to ask for things and stuff like that, because they don't. They don't have part of the will. The New Testament is not for sinners. The New Testament are letters written to Christians, not to sinners. The sinners must become children of God. The will's not theirs. None of the promise. The only promise that they have that if they call on the name of the Lord, they can be saved. But that's the only thing the sinner has. He has nothing else. And he's given that to get into the will. But if he doesn't, he has no guarantee of anything in the will being done for him. No guarantee. So, we need to understand this. Now, the will is in force. So, all the promises must already be enforced. They have to be. Because the will's enforced. So, all the promises have to be enforced because his death is what empowered the will to go into effect. So, all that the will offers, all that the will, the inheritance is, it's already set into motion. It's not something we're trying to get set into motion. You know, a sinner don't have to try to get saved. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough. All it says you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you do that, if you follow the confession that the scripture says, a person is born again. Why? The things with the will automatically are in effect. That's why when somebody comes into the kingdom, you don't have to grow to get a promise. Everything is already established. It all belongs to you. It's all yours. Everything. And so Christians have to gain in the knowledge of what has been given to them. Most of Christianity are really doing much to labor and work to get what's theirs. And really, this is what most religion does. Most religion and even religious Christianity is working to get things from God. Trying to earn things. We're not trying to earn it. We can't earn it. You can't earn what's already been given. You can't earn it. It's already yours. You know, it's like going into the bank and asking for money and, you know, asking what you can do to get your, I want to know, what great feat do I have to do to get my money? If I become good enough, will you give me my money back? I mean, you just, you know, it's doing this. But yet Christians are doing this all the time. Christians are trying to accomplish some feat. Instead of walking in the knowledge of God and finding out what has God said, what has God said belongs to me? And then finding out, say, this does. And see, this is one thing, is finding out about your inheritance. It's impossible to grow up without understanding what's given to you. You have to know this stuff's been given to you, that you're not trying to get it. You've heard me say so many times, Christians are trying to get what God's already given. Spend their whole Christian life trying to get what's already been given. Got to be confusing to God. People praying and asking him on things that's already been given, and they're trying to act like they're trying to get him to give it to them. You know. People saying, well, you know, one day God will heal me. One day God will heal me. Well, that's the biggest lie that's ever been said. One day God will heal me. In other words, he didn't do that yet. Well, where do you have a promise that says one day he'll do it? You don't. You know, you don't have a promise. There's no place in the book that says that. How can you see? This is Christianity makes up its own religion as it goes along. It makes its own to satisfy itself. Why it's not working? So what do? We just let's make our own verse. What do you think? We'll just add our own verse to this thing, and I'll make up a new one, and I'll add my verse, and I'll say God said, okay, and we'll have my verse, and we'll throw it in there because it's not working. But the reason it doesn't work is because people are trying to obtain what's already been given in the inheritance instead of declaring that it already belongs to me, that healing's mine. You know, just think about inheritance. People, minister who in England years and years ago went into a woman's home. He was asked to go with another minister, and this go back years and years ago. He was asked to go in a home of a lady who was dying, and they went in, and like she was really living in a cardboard tin shack little thing, and they went in to see her, and really her whole problem was she was dying of malnutrition. She was really poor, didn't have the right stuff to eat and things, and got sick, and then just things just ballooned and got worse. But they were in the house in there, and he looked around and looked in the wall, and there on the wall was this document. And he walked over and started to read it, and he said to her, he said, can I ask you something? He said, where did you get that? Oh, she said, I worked for this lady at, you know, and this turns out she was royalty in England. She was a lady somebody or other. Anyhow, and she said, I worked for her for, I forget, she said how many years, and she said, when she died, she gave that to me. Well, see, the lady couldn't read, so she didn't know what it said. It's literally happened. Didn't know what it said on the thing. She's dying down there, poor. here the guy says, can I take that? And he said, I'll bring it back to you, but I just want to take it. I want to have this thing checked out. Well, he went and found out this was the lady's will. This lady had given her a home and servants and everything. This lady was rich, but she had none of it. She's down there dying. Why? She don't know what, don't have the knowledge of the document. She don't have the knowledge of the document. And they found it. And when this guy took it, when he took it, this minister took it, they found out, they said, we have been looking for this since this lady died for years. We've been looking for this thing. Her will. Here it was. But that lady never got a chance to enjoy any, enjoy that. Yet, she had a big palatial home. She had servants. Loads of money. But see, it doesn't matter. What you don't have knowledge of. And that's with God. God has blessed the church, blessed Christians, and they live without it. They don't have it because they never find out what's theirs. They don't read it out. They listen to religion tells them what all they don't have. All what don't belong to you. All what you can't have. You know, we're just trying to get by here. And people say, I remember when I was a kid going to church, and he said, I don't want any of this world's goods. And they'd get on the car and drive off. Say, wasn't that the world's good? You know, and then it was set, you know. Say, all the world's goods, they would decide which ones you were allowed to have and which ones you could. You know, that was, you know. They would decide, figure that out, you know. You know, your car, you know, you could only have one, you know, which could be only so nice, you know. No, you couldn't, you know, you might, you know, you drive the cheap Chevy or Ford, but you don't get over, you know, you don't buy anything good, the real good one or anything like that, you know. But they would do that. That's the whole thinking was on that stuff. It was religion. What they didn't realize, and I talked to my dad about it, I said, you don't realize that you guys were very much the Pharisees. Well, man, I mean, that choked him. I mean, it's just like, they were the top. But I said, you did the same thing they did. I said, I told my dad, you did it in ignorance, but you just did it. You went along and God supplied you everything, and listen to what the scripture says, and they would, the first thing you always tell a religious person, this is what, and I hope it don't ever come out of you in your mouths, at least when I'm around, I'll tell you about it. Let's see. That was spiritual things he was talking about. Yeah. And the first thing I asked my dad, what good is any spiritual thing if it don't help me here? What good is it? Yeah. If spiritual things don't change, what good is it? What value? You know? That's like coming giving me an air dollar. Here's an air $100 bill. What's it good for? Nothing. But you know, what God's given us, and this is the whole thing. The whole thing of it is, it has to be, it came from the Spirit. This all came from the Spirit, and it's for us, and the Spirit life will bless this life. The life of a God who we can't see with our eyes or feel by touch gave us all this glory that's in this book, and it will manifest itself if we'll believe it. If we'll believe it was given to us and start acting like it was given to us instead of trying to get it, hallelujah, it'll bless us. This is why when Jesus, think about when Jesus, now I'm going to read from Luke 11:2, but it says there, it says, it's concerning Jesus, he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, and it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, what? Your will be done here on the earth like it is in heaven. The will, okay, what's the inheritance about? It's a will, isn't it? Your will be done on earth like your will is done in heaven. You see, when he told the disciples to pray they weren't praying for something right then. He was telling them to begin to pray because why? There's a new will coming. And in that new will is God's will carried out on the earth like it's carried out in heaven. God's will down here like it is in heaven. That's what he was telling them to do. See, people go through this thing, most churches, and it's a shame. They go over this prayer, it's just a religious thing. Well, God, your will be done here on earth, like it is in heaven. And you say to them, well, in heaven, is anybody poor down here? You say, well, you know, Jesus said in the earth, you're always going to have poor. Well, sure you are. You're always going to have people that ain't going to follow what the Word of God says. People are going to end up poor. There's people that ain't going to work, are going to end up poor. There's people, for a lot of reasons, people get sick and end up poor. Why? Well, the Bible says we're healed. Well, they don't believe that. They believe you're just in the earth, you're going to get sick. So they, Jesus said, no, I want you guys to have down here, and I want you to pray about this thing. Because I want you to have down here what heaven got up there. We don't believe that today in the church world. We're to come to church. That's what they were praying about. The will. Jesus Christ brought the will of God to the earth, and we can enter that will than we did when we believed by faith in Jesus Christ. That will, heaven's will right now belongs to us. Heaven's will belongs to us. Our whole venture as Christians should be trying to find the knowledge of God. We want to find out about it. We want to find out about God's kingdom. What's this kingdom made up of? What's the blessings of this kingdom? What has been promised in this great inheritance that we got? What's in this thing? Hallelujah. Getting around to believe it. Is it true or not concerning this heritance? Because the spiritual man, he must know his inheritance, the inheritance which is by the light of God's Word. And Psalms 119:130 says, the entrance of the Word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. See, we need it brings light. See, we want the Word of God brings light to us. It don't bring darkness. If God wants me to sick, if God really wants you to be sick, does that bring light to you? Isn't that really enlightening? Oh, man. Yeah, God's trying to kill me for a reason. I'll tell you what. He's trying to, that's really enlightening. Surely glad to hear that. That's light. We blame God for so much darkness instead of talking about God. It's the knowledge, what, of the light. He brings, but He gives light. He gives understanding to the simple. Praise God, I qualify. Hallelujah. See, somebody could say, you're just too dumb. I qualified. I'm sorry. God already qualified the dumb guys. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't need to be a genius. He put the genius in me. Glory to God. The genius already moved in. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. It's the lamp. God enlightens us. So it says, searches out the inner depths of the heart. The spirit of man is the lamp. God enlightens us. Hallelujah. He caused you to be born again. The nature and the life of God. You got God's life, and you didn't get a little bit. You got it super abundantly. It abounds towards you. Hallelujah. You have it on the inside of you. This inheritance is, when you got born again, you just didn't get, this is majority of Christians believe this, and I'm not saying to knock them. It's just the truth. They believe we got our sins forgiven. That's it. That's what we got. They didn't get anything. They don't even believe that's in any super abundance. Because you're just going to sin. That's all they got. No, I got an inheritance. You got an inheritance. And that inheritance is everything that God had in every promise that He made. Whew, my God. Remember, it's what you have. Now, God was kind enough to pass on through the centuries a book explaining these. Wow. See, this book is phenomenal. This is why God, the devil will work night and day try to get this book out of people's hands. To get people not to follow it, get people to go do. You know, don't go to church, listen to teaching. Don't go to the, no, he'll do everything he can to keep people from getting the knowledge of this book. That's his whole thing that he does. Once a person gains knowledge, he loses control over that individual. He can control anybody. I don't care how born again you are. You could live like one of the devil's kids in this earth because of lack of knowledge. You could do more for the devil than the devil's kids do, if you don't have knowledge. So you always want to gain knowledge. That's what I've done. My Christian walk is to gain knowledge of God and then pass it on to other people. Gain knowledge, pass. That's what I do. That's my job. Gain knowledge. Give it to people. That's what I do. See, my ministry is, like a lot of people say, you're just being like evangelistic. Well, that's not my job. My job is to give the saints something. That's my job. See, everybody has to find out their job. Most people are trying to do 10 different jobs. My job is not to the world. My job is to the church. That's my job. It's to Christians. It's giving knowledge to Christians. That's what it is. So you have to find out what your job is. What part are you called to? What's God anointed you to do? But this is one of my jobs, is finding out. It's number one, but you got to find out the knowledge of God to fulfill whatever God's called you to, whatever to stand in. You'll never do the will of God not having the knowledge. You don't know what belongs to you or what you have. Trying to get something, praise God, you're not trying to get anything. You already got it. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Glory to God. Well, I got this message this morning when I woke up this morning, that I woke up and the scripture from Peter came to me this morning. And when I just woke up and that scripture just came to me of Peter, and I just knew that you need to talk about that. So I spent the morning and into the afternoon studying some of these, going over and listening to what the Spirit was saying about these things. But there were some things I was going to teach on about inheritance, but this is what the Lord wanted me to teach on it. So this is what we did. Glory to God. And I enjoyed it, going over it this afternoon. It's good. Just a reminder. I thought, you know these things, but you get going over them again. It's like, wow. To me, it was like eating it the first time. It's like, see, this is good. And then I got to preach it. That's gooder. Yes, it is. So you get to go over it again. Hallelujah. And so, praise God. But really, is hugely important to develop in that area, to know what God has given you concerning your inheritance, and see all the things that God concerning promises in the Word. And praise God, you'll live a blessed life. And you'll bless others. I mean, when you find out, there's no more freedom. You know, it's just like in this day and time with the things going on around, and things going on. Look, you say, man, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear anything. I don't have to worry about this stuff. People out here worrying about all kinds of things going on, stuff happening. And I hear like Christians saying stuff like, boy, I don't know if I'd want to bring any children in the world in these days. And if I hear them say that, I say, yeah, you know, God couldn't take care of nobody today. You know what he is? That little squirt, you know, devil sure is bigger. You know, people don't realize, and Christians walk around saying stupid stuff like they don't realize, setting up their own demise. And now I know that person said, well, he can't take care of you then. You can't take care of children. How's he going to take care of you, you big dummy? Run at the mouth. There ain't no way you can do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's been gracious to us in spite of us many times. Hallelujah. But praise God. His plan. So find out. Gain knowledge in the Word of God, and then walk in that knowledge and you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight for being so kind to us and revealing the Word to us, Lord God. I'm so thankful for your light and life. Lord God, especially these days and times, Lord, there's so many people running around. People don't know which ends up. But I want to thank you, Lord God, for your knowledge that gives us grace and peace. Hallelujah. That we can walk in this day and time. I want to thank you for all the wonderful promises of your Word that you gave to us. Hallelujah. Lord God, those promises were given before I was ever born. And Lord God, those promises there were just waiting for the day that I accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, that I could come into that inheritance that you had already provided for me. And Lord God, how dumb I was. I waited 30 years. I could have had a lot sooner. But Father, I thank you. You didn't put me down or throw me out because I was dumb. Hallelujah. You took me in. And Lord God, you upheld those promises no matter what I did. They stayed the same. And so I want to thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that those promises and the power of those promises, Lord God, are working. That covenant is open to me today and open to each one that's here. And I thank you, Father God, that we're going to walk and live in those. You're going to continually give us understanding and knowledge in the Word. You're going to continue through the Holy Spirit to reveal all the wonderful things that you planned in your purposes, Lord God, so we can carry them out and walk in them in this day and time. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.